Welcome to episode 149 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live October 25th, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, we finally get around to wrapping up our acronym soup series by talking about unified labels in Office 365 and Azure. So without further delay, let's wrap this topic up. How are you, Scott?
It is another beautiful day in Florida. I was ready for fall to be here. We had one day this week.
Right, like Wednesday or Thursday, something.
Yeah, I was able to wear a sweatshirt or a jumper outside, and it was cool. I was able to open the doors and turn my air conditioning off. That was really strange. And then that all went out the window, and it all came back on Thursday and Friday.
Well, congratulations. You made it through winter in Florida. The summer has returned with a vengeance.
I survived it. Here I was just breaking out long pants and, you know, shirts with actual arms on them. And yeah, well, it's all gone now.
It was nice. My neighbor actually made a fire out in the front. He pulled out his TV. He was watching the World Series, and I went and sat by the fire with him. Ate chips. Enjoyed the cool evening air watching a little baseball. It was really nice. My kids played outdoors that day for like 5 hours, so they were exhausted and went to bed. It ended. I'm hoping it comes back for Halloween. I don't want a hot, sweaty, sticky Halloween.
You know, that's like pretty much a guaranteed kind of thing around here.
All right, so I have a new one for you. This has nothing to do with Office 365, but I had a momentary panic attack yesterday with my Mac.
Excellent.
Yes. So you can get these, well, you know, like the security keys, the hardware security tokens. The guys over at the other Cloudy podcast gave us one, and I have a YubiKey one. And you can set it up on your Mac so that if that's plugged in, you enter a PIN instead of your password.
Yes.
So yesterday morning, I turn on my Mac, flip it up, and it says, your account has been locked. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I have no idea how my Mac would have been locked. Like, it said it was locked and there was absolutely nothing I could do but reboot. So I rebooted it, tried to log in, and it said you must change your password. Okay,
that's
maybe
cool.
It got locked and it wants my old password and my new password. Typed in the old password, typed in a new password, and it said my old password was invalid. I was like, great. So now my account got locked, my password's invalid. Now what do I do? So I think I tried to reboot once more, and then I rebooted into recovery mode. Well, I have drive encryption set on my laptop too. So unless you have that password...
Yeah, that doesn't work out very good, does it?
Recovery doesn't work out very well. So it's like, okay, type in your password to unencrypt your drive. It is still the wrong password. So at this point in time, I have absolutely no idea what to do. I'm going to have to somehow try to factory reset Mac with an encrypted drive, and I have no idea what the password is. On a whim. So all this time when I started trying this, I had unplugged my hardware security token. So this USB device is no longer even connected to my Mac. It's sitting on the desk off to the side somewhere. On a whim, I try my PIN number. And the PIN number was actually the password. So somehow, in the course of the night and my account getting locked out, and it trying to reset the passwords, it somehow grabbed the PIN off of my hardware key and changed my password to the PIN number. So once I typed in the PIN number, then it let me in. But also in the midst of all of this, it actually wiped out Keychain. It like created a whole new Keychain profile as a part of all this. So finally I get rebooted. I get logged in with my PIN number and nothing is logged in. So I have to go back in and re-log into iMessage and OneDrive and Outlook with all 7 accounts or whatever's in there. And that was why I actually probably had to log into the Creative Cloud for Audition this morning. So I still have no idea how a PIN from a hardware key got set as my password on my laptop.
The YubiKeys, they have their own, what do they call it? Like the PIV manager, right? Personal information, the vault thingamajigger.
Yep.
So I wonder if you go and you say, hey, when I protect with a PIN, because then really you're using the PIN to decrypt the management key that is stored back within PIV and that whole management service.
Right.
I wonder if when it's saying password there, like it's really just got like a hook into OS X or OS 10 or whatever the heck is going on there and just saying, hey, let me go ahead and, you know, I'm going to say password, but I really mean your PIN every time, right? Because they're hooked into the OS and they've done something at that level. Or it could just be because you're running Catalina and beta software.
I'm going to attribute it more to Catalina because like it's smart enough that the login screen on macOS will actually change and it'll request a PIN or a password explicitly based on if that key is plugged in or not. So it knows and my password will work if the key isn't plugged in and the PIN works only when the key is plugged in. And yeah, I have no idea. But that was my excitement for the yesterday morning.
So just a few like skips of the heartbeat while it's you're looking at it and going, oh no.
What have I done? My heart finally returned to normal about lunchtime and I was able to resume work.
Excellent. I think you should open a ticket with YubiKey and make sure that they're not having issues there.
With Catalina? I could. Maybe I should click. Maybe that's the view pending messages I got in my email this morning. I'm having all kinds of fun.
Maybe. I mean, I know a lot of the keys, like Titan keys and things like that. I don't know about YubiKey. I don't have one of those specifically, but... And especially working with the Mac, because I live the Windows life over here. But yeah, just all sorts of fun stuff there.
Yeah, that it was. Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and five ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below. So, should we move on from my Halloween horror story of passwords and pins into our daily topic?
We can.
Which might even be more of a horror story than my pins and passwords.
Here, let me show you something really neat that just came out because you use Google a little bit, right? You use Google Calendar ever?
No.
Occasionally? No?
I do not use Google at all. Believe it or not, I am no Google. I do not trust Google. I have trust issues with Google.
Yet here you are using YubiKeys and letting them lock your Mac. I got it. Trust issues. I see.
Well, no, I have trust issues with YubiKey. Are you sending this to me or not?
With YubiKey? What? No. Listen. So Google has some new entries in a top-level domain. So they actually own a few TLDs. And one of the TLDs they own is .new. So if you go to cal.new, so just cal.new.
Cal.new, okay.
Yep.
Whoops, there's some muscle memory for you. I typed .net.
I did the same thing the first time I did it. So if you go to cal.new, you go to meeting.new. Oh, we use Google Docs, so go to docs.new.
Well, so I am logged into Google, so this is popping up all of these... Oops, .net.
Yeah, so they took their .new TLD and they're turning it specifically into basically shortcuts to get directly into the new creation experience for things like calendar entries, meeting invites, documents within Google Drive, all that kind of stuff.
Microsoft apparently already bought Office.new or Office365.new. Or I typed .net again.
Probably typed .net.
I typed .net again.
Because they can't, because Google owns
.new.
And I bet Google will not give them an Office365.new. But neither here nor there.
Hey, it was worth a shot. So you can't buy a .new from domains.google.com? Have you tried?
I don't believe you can. I think they own the whole TLD and they own it and run it. And
Ben.new. It says they are unavailable. I can buy Ben.fun.
Yeah. I've done some of those before for
That's
talks,
a premium one. I'm not going to spend $2,700 a year for Ben.fun.
That is your new power tip for the day. If you use Google products, just try the product thing that you're trying to do. Like I'm trying to create a calendar entry, cal.new.
What about hangouts.new? No, there's nothing there.
Single instance chat.
I'm being creative. Ads.new. I want to create a new Google Ads. Ad. Nope. So yes, it appears probably Sheets.new. Is that what their Excelish one is? Or Sheet? I don't know what all the Google products are.
Yeah, so Sheets, Slides. I mean, they certainly have...
Sheets.new doesn't... Oh, that's .news.
Stop it. You got to learn how to type. The PepCac is real with you today.
I do have
You don't know the password to your computer.
Maybe that was my problem. Well, there's the .news TLD too. I think I have been .news. That one I did get my hands on.
Yes, .new, not .news. All right, enough of that. Let's get into this stuff, because I am ready to be done with this segment of my Office 365 talking.
Life.
Yes.
So we have done Acronym Soup Part 1 or 2, where we talked about AIP labels. We talked about labels. We talked about AIP. Oh, and do you have that URL?
I'm sorry.
Would you? I need to mention this at the beginning. Now I'm going to have to go scroll through our chat history. Someone actually sent this URL to us after we recorded those shows, and now I can't find it naturally. It was it docs dot... We might have to edit some of this out while we go look for this URL. I think it was a comment on our... Let me go look at the comments on one of those shows.
Nope. I got it for you, because my search foo is... stronger than yours.
Than my search foo?
You were looking for Azure Information Protection, also known as? Is that the one you're talking about?
You got it. All right, so now that we got our link back and we found it, someone sent us this the other day, and the very URL itself made me laugh. So before we dive into unified labels, which is our next one, when you're thinking about acronym soup, Microsoft has a URL out there. Under docs, it's docs.microsoft.com/azure/information-protection/AKA. And if you go to that URL, this is literally titled Azure Information Protection, also known as. And it goes through and lists out all the names and acronyms and the other names and other acronyms and anything else that... essentially, Azure Information Protection can be known as, whether it's rights management service, Azure Active Directory Rights Management, Windows Azure Active Directory Rights Management, Active Directory Rights Management Service, Windows Rights Management Service, and then it has a list of like five other names. So if you were ever trying to figure out if what somebody is talking about is actually Azure Information Protection, go here, and it'll give you a whole bunch of acronyms and names of what else it could be or has been or may be referred to in the future. The fact that Microsoft needs documentation like this blows my mind.
And this isn't the kind of documentation you want, right? You want like clear, concise technical documentation that clearly explains the business case and then shows you how to implement it. Not something that Microsoft always excels at. And clearly when your products have 16 names for the same thing, it can be a little bit tough to do that.
So this was a handy piece of information that was passed along to us, compliments of a listener to the show. So with that being said, now let's dive into, there's a couple topics we haven't really talked about. Essentially, we're going to dive into unified labeling now and going along the AKA theme. If you go look at the unified labeling documentation that we will handily include links to in our show notes, it is actually titled Microsoft Information Protection and Unified Labeling. So Microsoft Information Protection, or MIP, as we will fondly refer to it as, is a combination of your Office 365 information protection and Windows information protection and Azure information protection. So all three different types of information protection all kind of rolled into unified labeling, which is still kind of goofy to me. So unified labeling is essentially this concept of you can now take your sensitivity labels that you want available for all of these products and unify the labels themselves. So if you go into your Azure portal and go look under, I'm logging in, I can't remember what it's under. I think it's under Azure Information Protection. in your Azure portal, you have a heading for unified labels in your Azure portal. And it also comes with a bunch of warnings that once you turn this on, you may not turn it off or reverse the process. So make absolutely sure that when you do enable unified labels, you are ready. You're sure you want to do it because there is no going back. And what this will do is synchronize those sensitivity labels, again, between Azure Information Protection and Office 365. And the Windows Information Protection kind of plays into this. I think Windows Information Protection, and you can correct me if you know for sure, Scott, pulls from the Azure Information Protection labels.
That is my understanding of it. I can't say that I've ever actually played with it that deeply other than messing around with some of the clients and things like that. And I always got the sense for this one based on the way it is. It is that one-way street, which you talked about, which was fine as long as you were in the, as long as you're in those web experiences for things. So it certainly works out from just kind of an overall, hey, we can get that kind of munged up metaverse of stuff put together for your labels. It came down to kind of client experience. So are you running the latest versions of things like AIP clients? Because if you're not, then your labels aren't visible in File Explorer on Windows. You know, there was just little things like that where you're like, huh, nice. So it wasn't just, it was one of those that made it really weird. Like you're not in the web service anymore. You're in this web plus client and you really need to understand the landscape for not only how your data is potentially going to be impacted by the creation and application of labels, but how all these different clients are going to interact with them as well.
Yeah. And we can talk about that. And this is partly too why I believe it's that way is because of the AIP scanner. But before I talk about the AIP scanner, one thing to be aware of with unified labels is that it unifies the label names, and that is about all. You still have independent policies for these labels in Azure Information Protection and in Office 365 Information Protection. So you may go create a policy for a certain unified label in Office 365 Information Protection, go protect all my documents in Office 365 that contain PII information, but that policy doesn't actually sync or unify with the Azure Information policies, Azure Information Protection policies. So if you need a similar policy for your Azure Information Protection and the content protected by Azure Information Protection, you need to go create a second brand new policy with as close to the same settings as you can get in Azure. And the as close to the same settings as you can get is why they don't actually unify the policies, because you don't have the same controls and features and policy, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, but you essentially can't create the same policies in both places because the same functionality doesn't exist in both places.
It's one of those things where you potentially have, well, let's see, you've got Azure Information Protection in the Azure portal, and then you also have potentially classic Azure Information Protection. You have the various admin centers that exist out there. So you might be in Office 365 Security and Compliance. You could be in the Microsoft 365 Security Center, or you could be in the Microsoft 365 Compliance Center. And then all this stuff coming together from different places with potentially different impacts based on kind of the SaaS service and the clients that sit on top of it, right? There's no expectation in Azure that you're going to be sitting on a given client or a given version of Office, things like that. But certainly if you're driving into Office 365, you know, you're in that eSKU licensing or things like that, or you've picked up licensing for these services, then great, we can make the assumption you're using Pro Plus, so you might need those additive little checkboxes that exist over in some other place. But it gets super confusing super quick, and it's got a ways to go.
Yeah, because kind of like you mentioned there, we have different admin centers to control these. Another aspect that comes into Azure Information Protection is the protection of files, documents on your desktop. So they have the Azure Information Protection Scanner, which can scan on-prem files, file share files and protect them all. And then you also have the client that you can put on your own desktop to interact with these files. Because at the end of the day, the Azure Information Protection is doing that encryption type stuff where it's like, do not forward or put watermarks on them or that type of stuff. Maybe you, as a document creator, still need to work with them, make updates to them, etc. However, there are two different clients for Windows as well. There is the Azure Information Protection client for Windows, and there is the Azure Information Protection Unified Labeling client for Windows.
I would actually argue that there's three clients because Office has built-in labeling as well.
Okay, so then there's three clients. However, Office, I think, uses the Office 365 Information Protection and not the Azure one.
It starts to get just... you're going to get off in the weeds based on potentially what type of support you're looking for in labels. You know, are you looking for automatic labeling? Are you just doing it manually? Are you looking for support for rights management service? So you see some of that kind of encryption that's going to carry forward that. Are you looking for, I don't know, logging an event viewer? It's just weird things like that are going to drive you into these different clients along the way.
Everyone is always looking to save time in their day, just like moving to the cloud can save you from the mundane tasks of patching, updating, and maintaining servers. Sanebox can save you from the mundane and time-consuming task of managing your email. Sanebox works with your existing email configuration to make your mailbox awesome. It may be using Sane Black Hole to avoid mailing and cold sales emails, or Sane Reminders to automatically remind you when you need to follow up on an email. You can even snooze an email, yeah, just like that pesky alarm clock in the morning, to defer or to de-emphasize an email that doesn't need your immediate attention. So what are you waiting for? There's nothing to install, nothing to learn. Just go to sanebox.com/allthings. That's sanebox.com/allthings to get 2 weeks free and a $25 credit. So I just pulled up to the Azure Information Protection Scanner because I couldn't even remember all the details about this. And this is where I really need to try to find somebody from the product team when we're at Ignite in a couple of weeks to help me understand all this. Because this Azure Information Protection Scanner sits on a Windows server running the Azure Information Protection Scanner, and it can scan, not to confuse everything, both file shares and a SharePoint server. And SharePoint is, again, going back to the Office 365 Azure Information Protection, not the Azure Information Protection, but the Azure Information Protection Scanner scans that. So what I don't know, and what I might actually have to go play with, is how that applies policies, or if both policies can potentially be applied to a single document.
Ooh, I can't say I've ever tried that one. Plus, you have the scanners that are just built into the clients as well.
Right.
So the AIP Classic Client and the AIP Unified Labeling Client both have support for scanning on-premises data stores, like files and file shares as well. It's just that in the Unified Client, it's currently in preview, because that's what you want in your...
Okay.
I'm going to come over to this thing, and by the way, it's preview.
And I got my answer to the Azure Information Protection Scanner. That does not support, I don't know what would happen if you tried this, but that is not for SharePoint Online. So that's 2010, 2013, 2016, 2019. So if you're on-prem and you want to do Azure Information Protection for your on-prem files sitting in SharePoint, that's where you can use this scanner, it looks like, for scanning your SharePoint server or your file share. But this would not scan SharePoint Online, which excludes that whole duplicate Office 365 Unified Labels versus Azure Unified Labels. Clear as mud.
I think it's less clear than mud, actually. Right? Like, hopefully, you know, you can drive it in a sane way and keep it where it needs to be. I don't know that I would even have that stuff potentially trying to impact on-prem environments. just because the functionality changes so much. I don't know that I would have the confidence that, hey, the scanner is going to work in the way you want it to for things like SharePoint on-prem versus where they tend to move online and how that goes. Like, your file shares are fine. A file is a file, but when it's got to connect to a system, reach into a content database, deserialize a blob or something like that, like it's just more error prone.
And if you're tied into all the Azure information protection in the cloud, I would be questioning why you're still running SharePoint on-prem. Unless you're in hybrid, I suppose.
That's a bigger story. Yeah.
I suppose if you're in hybrid and you've licensed all this other stuff and maybe you haven't moved SharePoint, I don't know. I would be curious if anybody is using labeling and Azure information protection with a bunch of on-prem stuff, SharePoint file servers, I would be really interested in talking to you to find out how this all works and how well it works. And if there's anybody that's actually doing it.
There's got to be one or two people, right? They're building it.
They are. Or are they? Yes, they are building it. Although sometimes I feel like the approach is taken that if they build it, they will come.
Ah, yes. Product management. Gotta love it.
At its finest. So, all that being said, there is another component to this, and that is Azure Threat Protection and how that ties into unified labeling. Because Azure Threat... Oh, okay. Back up.
Azure Advanced Threat Protection? Is that what we're talking about?
ATP versus ATP?
Well, no. Azure Advanced Threat Protection is called
Azure ATP.
Azure ATP. But
I'm trying to make up new acronyms. AATP.
Well, I think it's important to call it out what it is, because if you go and look for Azure Threat Protection, there's nothing called Azure Threat Protection.
That's true.
It's called Azure Advanced Threat Protection or Azure ATP.
Whew. It's a mouthful. So Azure Advanced Threat Protection also ties into the Azure Information Protection in Windows. And this actually, we have four scanners, sorry. Azure Advanced Threat Protection Client, because they have their separate client too, also automatically discovers files with sensitive labels and files that contain sensitive information types. So I don't think this one actually does. Let me look, because I didn't get a time to read this as much as I wanted to before we started recording. But this one, I don't think actually tags the content and identifies the sensitive content and tags it as much as it looks for content that is already tagged and classified with those sensitive labels to help protect it when it's sitting on end user workstations. So within your advanced features in your Microsoft Defender ATP, which is technically the desktop client for Azure ATP, you have a little checkbox to turn on Azure Information Protection within Microsoft Defender ATP that will then forward signals up to Azure Information Protection, giving those admins visibility into sensitive data that lives on their workstations. So this helps with a whole data discovery dashboard that's in Azure Information Protection. It will tie into log analytics. You can enable endpoint data loss prevention to help prevent data from leaking off of those endpoints. And this is all bundled in to that Windows Defender ATP that runs on your Windows 10, Windows 8.1, Windows 8 maybe, I think even Windows 7 possibly, but essentially runs on your workstations.
There's a client that runs on your workstations which sends telemetry to Azure where it is then acted upon. I think when you think about like ATP, ATP is just this wider product suite. So it's not really about tracking labels and understanding where your data has gone to and where it sits. Like, that's one part of the story, but really it's ATP as a whole is about understanding like wider kill chains, protecting credentials that are stored in your on-premises directories. So like say you had like a compromised admin account in Active Directory, you know, somebody was able to get the credentials to, you know, one of your first line workers, and then they're able to use like an escalation of privilege attack and do some type of lateral movement for through the environment. ATP is great for going back and potentially, you know, if it catches it, stopping those attacks. But if it doesn't catch it in real time, also being able to do the RCA and understand some of the impacts and things like that around it. Because it's got a whole lot more going on.
Yes, I would say that's probably a small part of what the Microsoft Defender ATP does, because it also can do the antivirus protection and malware and threat protection and all of that. So Microsoft Defender, it is the same Microsoft Defender ATP that does all of that, that also has hooks tied into the Azure Information Protection. Oh, and with that, there's auto labeling, which is another way to protect it. But this, you need an E5 for, and to be fair, auto labeling is pretty straightforward. It's essentially, instead of users having to manually select all these labels that we've been talking about, scanners will go through, look for the information in the files, and automatically apply sensitivity labels to Office files, PDF, CSV, or text files. It'll just automatically apply the labels for them. So there's not a whole lot there in additional features other than your users don't have to apply the labels. Now, Microsoft Azure Office 365 will automatically apply these labels for you.
Kind of, sort of, except
when they don't.
Well, it's still happening kind of on the client side a little bit. So you configure it through security and compliance, right, through Office 365, but it's Windows in combination with things like the information protection clients and Defender that's picking it up and doing the scan and saying, hey, this is being created on a device that has support for labels. And based on the context in it, it can go ahead and apply those labels for you. So to my knowledge, that is one of those things that only works in Office applications. And it only works when the AIP unified labeling client is installed. So you've got to kind of be on latest and greatest version of Office, latest and greatest version of the unified label client. And that also implies that you're on Windows.
Right.
Yeah. If you're in an environment where, again, like, you know, you're on a Mac, if your whole company is running on Macs, then yeah, that feature, the way it's documented, you go like, oh, that's nifty. But yeah, no, that won't work for you.
Yeah. Even the endpoint aspect of ATP from the labeling standpoint isn't available on the Macs. They do have the Microsoft Defender ATP for Macs, but right now that's just threat protection and virus protection. And to be fair, I have it running on mine. And if I leave the real-time scanning on, my fan just runs nonstop because it sucks up my CPU like nobody's business.
Good to see they've fixed that after all these months.
It worked really well for a little while, and then the last few months it's been not good again.
You should open a ticket.
I probably should. I should be a good tester and go open a support ticket and say, what's the deal with my CPU running at...
You know what? Reach out to your TAM. Let them do it.
Running at whatever percentage above 100% CPU, because on a Mac you can take more than 100% CPU.
Yes, you can. You gotta love the way that Unix math works.
Yeah. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. So with that, I think that wraps it all up. We did have Azure Threat Analytics in here. So to my knowledge, there's not much of any of this that ties into Azure Threat Analytics, because that is really just, I don't know that Azure Threat Analytics actually grabs any of this information. Azure Threat Analytics is more grabbing...
So ATA is all about, it's all about network attacks. So yes. Think about traditional like network protocols. So maybe DNS, capturing authentication, like NTLM, Kerberos, things like that, seeing that flow across your networks. And just based on saying words like that, it's just kind of like, just throw it out there. ATA is all about on-prem environments. So it is 100% an on-premises platform, and it's just meant to protect you from, you know, cyber attacks, things like that. So think that lateral movement thing, but not with data movement, but with actual, you know, network traffic and things like that flowing around.
So yes, I wanted to throw that out there because that was one of the comments and a question was, how does ATA tie into all of this? And the answer is advanced threat analytics. ATA really doesn't at all.
Totally separate product, totally different thing. So if you're interested in those kinds of attacks, like, hey, it's cool and it's out there, you know, like past the hash attacks, past the tickets, brute forces, things like that.
We could do an episode on that. We might be doing one kind of like that at Ignite, where we talk about securing it a little bit, and we could talk about ATA and some of the built-in threat protection tools that are available in Office 365 and all that good stuff. But for now, let's wrap up labels and our acronym soup series of podcasts.
Excellent. I'm very happy to be done with this one.
Me too. So until next time, or until the next change to protection, we will let this one go and talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.